Chapter 47. Spoiler alert. It got worse. A lot worse. First, Skippy's idiotic plan to use a sentinel to send a sleepy time signal to all the other Elder killing machines required him to be in direct contact with one of the damn things. Like, he couldn't extend his presence through a micro wormhole. He couldn't extend his presence much at all. His canister had to be within 43 kilometers of a freaking sentinel. Personally, I did not foresee any problems with that. To make the situation even better, he could not risk getting in contact with any of these 7 known sentinels that were active, nor could he wait around for any of the ones that were in the process of waking up from their long hibernation. None of them would allow him to get close enough to do what he needed to do. Now, we could not target a nice, normal Elder killing machine. We had to bring him into contact with a damaged, possibly insane sentinel. You know, the one we barely escaped from when it had the Flying Dutchman trapped and unable to jump. Fantastic, right? You haven't heard the best part yet. There was no way to order a sentinel into hibernation. Not even Master Control AIs like Skippy had that ability. They didn't have that ability even back when the Collective was active and all Elder AIs were working together and holding hands around a campfire. The Elders had not allowed their AIs to deactivate Sentinels or to deactivate Elder Starships in order to maintain the integrity of their strategic triad. The setup the Elders left behind required power to be shared between Master Control AIs, Sentinels, and Starships, with none of the three able to take action against the others. So, AIs like Skippy not only were restricted from deactivating a Sentinel, the damned things lacked any feature that would send them into hibernation other than when they individually decided that it was time to go nighty-night for a long nap. Shit. Skippy's plan, and I am being super generous by using the word plan to describe his wacky scheme to make every sentinel want to go back to bed, was essentially to tell them they shouldn't be awake at all. That the sound they heard in the middle of the night was nothing to worry about, so they should snuggle up with their teddy bears and go back to dreamland. Right. I remember babysitting one of my cousins when she was about 4 years old. It took 2 hours reading 3 books to her plus bribing her with juice and cookies, which was a huge mistake, to get her to fall asleep. Then when I thumped against the living room wall after tripping over a toy she left on the floor, she woke up. That time it was 40 minutes, another Dr. Seuss book, and a promise to play dress up in the morning before she drifted off again. An hour later, a thunderstorm swept in, lighting up the house like a strobe light and shaking the place with booms of thunder. Did the storm keep her awake? No, it was gone in 5 minutes. But summer thunderstorms are exciting, and she was too pumped to do anything lame, such as going back to bed. We were still playing Go Fish when my aunt and uncle got back from Bangor at 2:30 in the morning. The Merry Band of Pirates was not dealing with one overstimulated 4-year-old girl. Our opponents were sophisticated machines designed to stomp out intelligent life who found themselves awake in a galaxy filled with beings flying around in starships. Skippy somehow expected the Sentinels to ignore the target-rich environment and go back to sleep after he gave them a glass of warm milk or something. But wait! You haven't heard the absolute bestest part yet! To have any hope of getting the job done, of getting the beer can in close contact with the Sentinel, we needed volunteers to distract the damned thing. Distract it by keeping it busy snacking on a fleet of starships like they are a bowl of popcorn while we snuck up on it. There were only 2 species in the galaxy with the technology to get close enough to a Sentinel that it has to take action to protect itself. The Rindaloo, who had superior technology, but who also took so long to make a decision that they would still be debating our request when Sentinels were tearing apart the last habitable world in the Milky Way, and the Maxalks, who would jump at the chance to sacrifice thousands of their frontline ships just to get a chance to stab us in the back at their earliest opportunity. Hey, I am not a fortune teller like Nostradamus, but I do not foresee any problems with... Hidey-ho there, monkeys! Tis I, Skippy the Magnificent. Ignore everything Joe the Buzzkill said. You know what his real problem is. Once again, he fails to trust the awesomeness. What happens when we forget to trust the awesomeness, girls and boys? That's right. Nothing good. I am not called Skippy the Magnificent for nothing. I earned that nickname through my extreme and sustained awesomeness. So, despite Joe worrying about every little thing as usual, I am confident in the plan because it is my plan. Most of the time I have to go along with one of Joe's half-baked lunatic schemes, fearing that his squishy monkey brain had only the vaguest notion of what I need to do to make the plan a success. You understand the important part of what I just said? Usually I get stuck making one of Joe's ignorant ideas work, and I have to deal with a million surprises along the way because Knucklehead Joe does not know what he is doing. This time, all I need to do is flawlessly execute my brilliant, meticulously researched plan. Plus, what I need to do is so simple there is no way it can fail. Allow me to explain. Maybe get yourself a juice box first. Ready? I do not need to make the Sentinels go back into hibernation. I don't even need to persuade them that they want to go back to sleep. All I need to do is show them that they should not have been awakened in the first place. Simple, right? Okay, for those of us who are not experts in the architecture of Elder AI matrices, I will break it down Barney style. You will be amazed. Before, I mentioned library files as a crude way for monkeys to understand the very basic reference data that tells higher-level systems how to execute instructions. The elders envisioned cases where sentinels might receive orders that are garbled, or unclear, or just plain wrong. For their killing machines to know which potential orders are authorized, each set of orders includes authentication codes, which a sentinel checks against a set of codes in its library files. Do I plan to overwrite those library files so a sentinel will say, "Hey, that signal for me to wake up was bogus"? Sadly, no. My stupid restrictions prevent me from accessing those library files, and damn it, those files can't be altered anyway. Okay. Then my alternative is to hack into the copy of the signal stored by a sentinel to alter the authentication codes there, so a sentinel will realize that signal was in fact not authorized. Unfortunately, I can't do that either. Well, I could, but that would only work on the one sentinel I had access to. All the others out there would still have the original copy of the signal. Those orders are stored in a section of memory that is read-only. The only way to hack into it is for me to get into direct contact with every sentinel out there, which would not be healthy for me and very likely fatal to the crew of Valkyrie. Are you following me so far? The library files can't be messed with. There is no way for me to screw with the stored copies of the wake-up signal. The result is Skippy, fail, right? LOL, no. How? It's simple. I know something that sentinels don't know. Hell, I know something the elders don't know. Let that thought sink into your thick monkey skull. You see, the elders never had much need for cybersecurity since they had no external threats. Well, that's not quite true, but we'll cover that subject another time, okay? How does a sentinel compare the codes in a received order with the authentication codes stored in its library? It uses a subroutine to do the job. Cool, you might think. All I have to do is hack into that subroutine and tell it the authentication of the wake-up signal is bogus. You might think that because you are an ignorant monkey. The elders are not stupid. They locked that subroutine from being altered. Then I'm screwed, right? No. What I know is that the subroutine has its own memory stack to temporarily store copies of the codes it is comparing, but I don't have access to that memory either. What I do have access to, because the elders never imagined anyone hacking into one of their supreme killing machines, is the decryption scheme that translates stored orders into executable commands. And that scheme has a handy-dandy update feature which operates entirely beneath the conscious awareness of a sentinel.
All ships are in position, the commander of the Maxalt's task force reported.
She spoke via voice message rather than a direct ping to the Admiral's cranial implant.
Acknowledged,
Admiral Reichert responded from his flagship, irritated. He knew the decision to use crude speech was intended so everyone in the control centers of both ships could hear. The commander had reservations about throwing away her ships and the lives of her crews in what was very likely a useless gesture. Many warships of the Maxalt's hegemony had already been lost to Sentinels, and now Reichert proposed, had ordered, a task force consisting of over 400 ships to act as bait under the direction of the enemy.
The operation was foolish. If the situation were not so desperate, Reichard might have been accused of treason for sending so many ships to their doom. The situation was desperate. 4 days after the humans had apparently disabled a sentinel at Peeny, another elder-killing machine had struck a Maxalt's colony world. 12 million subjects of the hegemony died when their planet was torn apart by massive tidal forces. Leadership of the Maxalts had still hesitated to cooperate with the request for assistance by the humans until Reichert stated he viewed the operation as a valuable opportunity to observe both a sentinel and an elder AI in action, and possibly, just possibly, to capture that elder AI if the massive killing machine smashed Valkyrie, as he expected it would. The humans had gotten lucky the first time. How they disabled the first machine, hegemony scientists and AIs had no idea. The sensor data was woefully inadequate. Missiles had been involved somehow, but they had to be no more than a decoy. The missiles were all crushed anyway, with no evidence any of them had ever been able to detonate their warheads. According to General Bishop, the purpose of the upcoming operation was to send all the sentinels in the galaxy back into hibernation, an attempt the human leader idiotically described as playing for all the marbles. Once again, Reichert could not believe that his people were looking to humans for salvation. However badly Bishop described the desperate operation to call off the killing machines, he was correct that if the crew of Valkyrie failed, it would very likely be the end of all life in the galaxy, or at least the beginning of the end. Whether the operation succeeded or failed, the senior leadership of the hegemony had given very clear orders to Reichert. It was time to end the ability of humans to interfere in the affairs of their superiors. The hegemony was ready to pay whatever price was necessary to end the human threat and restore the Maxalts to their rightful place of power.